I've chosen the 71st Psalm, Ayin Aleph, quite coincidentally because it's 71 years of maybe Israel. Not Israel. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not the coincidence at all, okay? There's somebody guiding things. This is one of those mizmorim that are known as Yetomim. Yetomim means orphans because we don't know who the author is. It doesn't have an opening. It doesn't say Mizmor le David. It doesn't say any of those things that we normally would. Rashi and Radak presume that it's connected to the one that came before, 70. Not thematically, but that in the same way that one in the 70th says, Lamnatzeach le David lehaskil, that this is written right afterward, and therefore the author is the same. And of course, some would like to argue that they are one poem that was simply split. But if you look carefully, you will see that in fact there really is no commonality between the two of them. What we do have in this particular mizmor is that there are entire sections that should remind you of other places. Namely, there are verses 1, 2, 3, that are similar to verses 2 and 4 in the 31st Psalm. So you'll say, gee, I've heard this before. And there are verses 5 to 6, which are similar to what you heard in chapter 22. And so again, there are some who argue in the moderns that this was stitched together from pieces. But Rashi and Radak have a very simple answer. They tell us there is no author here because this is now being presented as a universal mizmor. And while it picks up from his experiences in his lifetime, he's not stuck. Instead, as Harav Meltzer tells us, there's no question that this is written by a man who's quite old. You'll soon see why. Who's been through a lot of trouble, a lot of trials, and sees his life and what has happened to him and his ability to cope with it as a model for not only what other people will go through, but what the nation will go through. And therefore, Sfono argues that this is all about what we're going to go through in Golos. Rashi and Radak take the position that it is related to what happened earlier, but that the first mizmor, the 70th, was written in the early part of his life, and then there's a sense of deja vu in the end of his life. The early part of his life, he's persecuted by Shaul before he becomes king, and is on the run as a fugitive to escape him, and finds himself persecuted for no cause. In the end of his life, his son Absalom and several members of his court try to usurp him and even kill him, taking over the palace. And you will remember that at that time, David on his own flees to take the war away from the palace and his wives and his children so that they don't become victims of the violence, and is again fleeing for his life, for his kingdom, not because he's trying to remain king, but because he's afraid of what's going to happen to the country should Absalom and his cohorts take over. You will remember, of course, that at the end of this whole thing, Absalom is killed, and David mourns that wayward son that gave him such agmas nefesh, so much aggravation. This star son, this incredibly gifted son, who has gone off the way, that the two of them have to become enemies. And he is, in a sense, taking this all together and writing this down. Not only a elegy for himself, but what will happen to the nation. I believe, having looked at it afterwards again, that in some respects it is our story. No less a story of Medinat Israel at the age of 71. Typically, the lifespan of a human being is 70. Ve'im begvurot 80 shana. The normal life is 17. If you're lucky, you make it to
80.
And if you're beyond that, then it's completely stolen time. Medinat Yisrael has been around for the span of a human lifetime. And those of us that are long old enough can look back and look at its birth and see where we've come and perhaps swell with pride, but at the same time look around and see the challenges that are yet facing us, which is, and to see since 1945 the specter of hatred raising its head all over again. Terrible to say that Ein Chadash Tachat HaShemesh. This one is not written necessarily with that sense of pessimism of history simply repeating itself, but rather with a certain sense of optimism. And the optimism is, been through this, we persevered, there were terrible sacrifices made in the process, horrible pain, here we are. And there are promises that are made, and we will then continue to persevere, but more than persevere, flourish. So let's look at this. Becha Hashem chasiti, al evosha leolam. The first half is written in past tense. In you, God, I found shelter. Nobody else protected me. Nobody else stood by my side. There was nobody else there for me. I found my shelter in you. The next half is written in future tense. And therefore, al evosha leolam, I will not be shamed forever. What was, will be. In other words, not only the tzuras, but also coming out on the other side of it. B'tzidkatcha tatzileni v'tefalteni. This is now written again in the future tense. Radak wants to say it's future tense, flipping it to the past. Meaning, I'm using the future tense to mean that was the case. Then, and it will continue to be. But Rashi wants us to see as follows. Betzitkatcha, in your righteousness. Not because I deserved it. Not because I was always perfect. But by virtue of your righteousness, you saved me. You rescued me. And therefore, hate elai osnecha. And therefore, turn your ear to me now. Now. Vehoshieni, and save me. So I've got three times, past, future, and I'm stuck right now in the present. Heyeli litzul, be my rock. The tzul is literally a tall boulder upon which one can perhaps climb and be saved from the hounding dogs that are out to get you. It also indicates hardness. Something that's going to give me the ability to withstand this. Going through difficult times, I don't want to be broken or bent by this. Ma'on lavot tamid. A ma'on is an abode, a place to live in, and should remind you of the 90th Psalm, where Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about the Ribbono Shel Olam as being our home, our abode, a place where they have to take you in. I want you to become not only a rock where I can find temporary refuge, but I want you to become my home. Home is the place where they have to take you in. Lavot tamid, where I can always come. This is the place that will always welcome me. Tzivita, you commanded. Doesn't say whom. Either angels with wings or without wings. Ethereal angels or human emissaries or other kinds of emissaries that are instruments of God, lehoshieni, ki tsal'i u'mitzudati ata. For you are my sela, again, a rock, u'mitzudati, my fortress. And that was common words, tu sela mitzuda. Elokai, my God, Talteini miyad rasha, rescue me from the hand of an evil one. Mikaf, from the palm of, it doesn't say from palm of whom, me'avel v'chometz. Avel is turning into a noun, somebody who does an avle. An avle is something that is blatantly unfair, immoral. Save me from the hand of the evil and from the palm. And it doesn't say the palm of whom. And what is chometz? I get the word me'avel, somebody who makes an avla, somebody who does an injustice, an abuse. But what is chometz? Chometz is vinegar, wine that turned into vinegar. Rashi says that it's a play on the word chometz, hamas, which is violence. But I suspect, and I've not found a source for this, that this is not simply a play on it. It is a double entendre. It's like wine that turned bad. What do you know about the palm? If you say from the hand of the evil, why are you talking about the palm? I suspect that the palm here is somebody who's been bribed, somebody who's been paid off, and therefore turned on me. That would have been appropriate, Sandra, to talk about Avshalom, who managed to take some of David's advisors and turn them with promises of power and money. And that would also be true about many of our enemies who perhaps were erstwhile allies and turn on you because of something that's worth their while. Palms have been greased and therefore turning things into avel and chometz. Ki ata tikvati, for you are my hope. And our only hope is kutshabrichu. Miftachi miniurai. My security from my youth. The only one I can really trust and rely on. For even those that look like allies and friends today, tomorrow, turn on you. So this was true of him in his lifetime. But it's also true of us as a nation in our time. Not merely the last 70 years, but the last 3,500 years. There's no one that we could have relied on except for Kutsha Brichu from our youth. Alecha nismachti mi beten. Upon you I was relying. I was made to rely from the belly. Mim'ei imi, from my mother's innards. Ata gozi. You are the one that takes me out. I told you that this is reminding us of another place, and I am referring, if you have it, Tehillim in front of you, you can look at it, from chapter 22, where David is writing about his own life, where he tells us in the 10th and 11th verse, Ki ata gochi mi baten. You see the word, not gozi, gochi. Mavtichi al shdei imi, you were the one that secured me on my mother's breast. Alecha hoshlachti mirachem, I was thrown on you from the womb. Mi beten imi eliata, from my mother's belly you've been my God. The Medrash tells us this, that David's mother died on childbirth. Typically, as the baby comes out, the midwife would typically secure the baby and have the baby suck on the breast, since the sucking on the breast stimulates the uterus and the afterbirth to come out. If she is bleeding to death, then that sucking does nothing. Who is the midwife in this case? Kiviyochel, the Rabbanu Shalom is the midwife. You took me and you secured me on my mother's breast, but it wasn't there, didn't do any good. So I was thrown on you. Notice that the word Shdei Imi, Shin Dalet Yud, is one of the names of Hashem, Shakai. And it is one of those classic examples of thinking of God not as Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, but rather as our
Mother.
The Mother that just wants to give. The Mother that birthed you. The Mother that made you. The Mother that the more you get, take from her, the more she wants to give you. That kind of imagery now has been slightly altered. So instead of gochi, it's gozi. Again, I refer you to the 90th Psalm, where he refers to the transient nature of human life. that we are here for just a short while. Ki gaz chish v'naufa. And then we suddenly take quick flight and we leave. Life is so fleeting. So the word gozi really means the way a bird leaves its nest and takes flight. You took me off from my mother's belly. Becha tehilati tamid. And in you is my praise forever. In other words, anything I can be proud of. The only source of any kind of dignity I have comes from you. You're the only one that gave me any strength, any sense of worth. And as a result, kemofet hayiti l'rabim. I became a sign, a hallmark to many. In other words, if I could survive, if I could make it, if I could pick up the pieces and rebuild, I became a hallmark for many people. Ve'ata machasi oz, and you remained my shelter of strength. David then becomes a symbol of somebody that can prevail. Am Yisrael, argues Sforno, becomes a symbol that despite all of the persecution, despite all of the genocide, all of the maligning, we've built. We build more. We've survived, but we've not only survived, we've thrived. And we have chosen not to be victims. You would suppose that some people could learn from us. You suppose we could become symbols, not merely of the wandering Jew, not merely of the Jew that's nailed to a cross, but a Jew that persists and does not become a cynic, remains, if you like, a moral exemplar. And that is essentially what this mizmor is about. Yemale pi tehilatecha. May my mouth continue to be filled with your praises. Kol hayom tifaltecha. And I want to be all the day your source of pride and joy. Your pride. Because if you remember that the prophet said that Am Yisrael is tiferet Hashem. He is the source of pride. This is my child. Look at him. Look at my nachasol. And now I beg you. Al tashlicheni le'et zikna. Since he's writing this at the end of his life, where he feels that he no longer has the physical stamina, and perhaps he's emotionally exhausted. Don't cast me now my old age. Don't throw me. Lahashlich is to literally throw me off. You were there for me, says Sforno. Now that my strength ebbed away by the persecution of the nations, now that I'm exhausted, he says, Kichlot kochi, that I've lost my strength b'Torah u'b'mitzvot. So what makes us old is that so many of our people have gotten tired of being persecuted and have given up. Have given up like cowards do, into assimilation, into alienation from their own heritage. And he doesn't condemn them as much as ask God's pity for them. They're old. Look at what happened to them. Sforno chooses this path because Sforno is looking back. Though he is in Italy, he has seen what has happened to Sephardic Jewry from the First Crusade of 1096 all the way to the expulsion of 1492, where they settled, those the remnants that did choose to remain faithful, settled in Italy and in Turkey or wherever they could find refuge. What isn't spoken here is not how many Jews gave their lives either beforehand refusing to convert or having converted on the open and remained hidden Jews, only to then be persecuted by the Inquisition, where they were ultimately burned at the stake for still keeping Judaic ideas. So, in fact, even that didn't serve them. But unfortunately, and the sad story is, the majority were not willing to lose their homes, their lives, or couldn't withstand the torture. Most of us know about what happened in 1492. We don't know what happened in 1391. We don't know what happened earlier. When you see the first expulsions that occurred from Barcelona, you don't know and you don't read this, except if you read the Kinot, those lamentations of Tisha B'Av, which are written in poetic style, describing what happened in Valencia, in Barcelona, in Toledo, with waves of pogroms, with hundreds of people murdered, and done so with the most horrific, torturous fashions that the weaker amongst them gave in. So when he talks about Le'et Zikna, it's saying we who as a nation have become old, old by 2,000 years of persecution, so that the majority have chosen to opt out one way or another. And therefore, he says, don't give up on me, al tashlicheni le'et zikna, kichlot kochi, as my strength in Torah and mitzvahs has become weaker, please don't leave me. Ki amru oivai li, for my enemies have said about me. What did they say? Doesn't say. It means that they are conspiring against me. V'shomrei nafshi no'atsu yachdav, and those that watch my soul, watching, waiting for a moment of weakness, they've advised together, they've conspired together. Lemo, to say, Elohim azavo, God has left him. This is the position of the church. Ritfu v'tifsuhu, you can chase him, you'll catch him. Because there's no one who will save him. Hitler said, this is what Khmelnytsky said, this is what they've said over and over and over again. You see, nobody wants you. Nobody will rescue you. There's no one for you, and there is no God that will rescue him, for he is damned of God. Elohim, al tilchak mimeni. Please, God, don't distance yourself from me. Elohai le'ezrati husha. Rush to my aid before it's too late. Yevoshu yichlu sotnei nafshi. May they be humiliated. May they be put to an end. Those who are sotnei nafshi, Satan, those that persecute and prosecute my soul. Maybe they be cloaked in humiliation, in shame. Those that seek my evil, those that seek to what's bad for me. But as for me, tamid ayachel, I will forever yearn. V'hosafti al kol tehillotecha, and I will add even more praises to you. I will continue, my mouth will continue to say how righteous you are. Kol hayom tshuatecha, and that your salvation is here all the day long. Ki lo yadati sforot, for I don't know how to count. How to count the numerous miracles, the number of things you have done for me, whether I deserved it or not. Avo begvorot ad Hashem Elokim. Gvorot means strength. I will come, bigvurot. But I also told you that in Tehillim 90 it says the normal lifespan is 70. V'im bigvurot, and gvurot has become a term for reaching your 80s. If I reach an older age, askil tzidkatcha levadecha, I will continue to remind and mention your righteousness only, not mine. Not mine. This is not about whether I deserve it, because I don't. If the majority of our people have jumped ship, if more people are marrying non-Jews than Jews, if more people are not observing the Torah and mitzvahs than those that are observing, we could say we're all in the same ship, and if we're all in the same ship and they're keep digging holes into it, aren't we all going to drown? Shouldn't we? Naturally. And yet he's relying on God saving because of the small minority that remain faithful. And therefore, I will continue to mention your righteousness in spite of it all, in spite of the fact that the most of us have violated the covenant. Elohim limadetani miniurai. God, you have taught me from my youth. Ve'ad hena agid nifleotecha. Like the Haggadah, that means to relay to the next generation your wonders. Ve'gam ad zikna v'seva. And even unto old age. And zikna is not as old as seva. So zikna is supposed to be when you reach 60. And seva is supposed to be when you reach 70. And gvurot is supposed to be when you reach 80. So at seva, no matter how old, no matter what. And these are simply, according to Sfono, stages in our national history, but it also appropriate to one's individual life. Even when I get frail, even when I've gone through so much, I will continue to tell the children. And so therefore, I will continue also to say, Elohim, al tazveini, don't leave me. Ad agid zroacha ledor, until I have a chance to speak of your arm, of your strength, to the next generation, generation of the grandchildren. Keep me around long enough so that I can tell the grandchildren where we've been. Lechol yavo, and to any who come, to any who choose to come. Some say to any who choose to come to Eretz Yisrael, to any who come to my house, I will tell them of gvurotecha, of your great strength. Having just come back from Eretz Yisrael, I can tell you, I go there a few times a year, and each time I go, wow, 70 years what we've done. 70 years what we've built. 70 years of Torah, of construction, of roadways, of buildings, of houses. It is gorgeous. Medical advances, the educative advances, wow. A nation in which people from all over the Muslim world come for medical treatment.
Yeah.
We have a right to walk around a little bit bragging. I don't know how one cannot, but there are some who have forgotten, and it needs to be reminded. V'tzidkatcha Elokim, and your righteousness, ad ma'om, all the way upon high. Asher asita gdolot, you did such great things. Elokim mikamocha. God, who is like you? You're the same God. Asher hiratani tzarot rabot v'raot. What generation can say this? You have shown me, I've lived through evil troubles, hard troubles. If not directly, our parents. There's the second generation of the Shoah, the third generation of the Shoah. Tashuv techayeni, you'll come back, and please notice the k'tif and the kri, and you will revive us, you will revive me. Literally, right? Come back to life again. Umitehomot ha'aretz, and from the depths of the earth, tashuv te'aleini, you will come back and bring me up again. Is this a reference to Trias HaMesim? Or is this also a reference of a people who are being buried alive and who have stood up again and rebuilt, and that's been their greatest vengeance? Terev gdulati. In other words, not just you great, but you took from your greatness and you gave it to me. Vatisov. And you turned around to comfort me. Generations that buried their children or that didn't have even the schus of burying their children, seeing their children burned and shot in front of them, rebuilt and had the audacity to have babies again and see grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and say that's our greatest nakoma, that is also our greatest comfort. Gamani otcha. So I too. You notice here, because I've comforted you, comforted me, you'll comfort us. Is he talking about himself, or is he really now taking his life experience and seeing it as a hallmark, a model for the nation? So I too will thank you, Bechli Nevel, with a lyre, with a music. Amitcha Elokai, your truth, my God. Azamra lecha bechino, I will sing to you with a harp. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Teranena sfatai ki azamra lach. My lips will sing as I make music for you. And my soul, the soul asher padita, which you redeemed. Redeemed very much like somebody taken into captivity and somebody pays ransom and takes him back. Gam lishoni, and even my tongue, kol hayom tehegetz itkatecha, all the day long means throughout history, will utter your righteousness, ki voshu, ki chafru, for they're shamed, for they, and now notice the word chafru, chelpa is humiliation. Lachpo is to dig. You know, when you're so humiliated, you say, oh, if I could only dig a hole and hide myself. They've dug themselves in. Mevakshei ra'ati, those that seek my downfall.